Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, and in the name of Allah. Yes, sir. Brother James, how are you, sir?
I'm fine by Allah's grace. Excuse my interruption. Go right ahead, brother.
Oh, no problem, no problem. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the world, I bear witness that there is no God to be served or worshipped but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Faraj Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. I further bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger, the exalted Christ, and I bear witness indeed that the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is their divine reminder in our midst, the Redeemer. I greet my panel and all our guests in the listening audience, with the greeting words of peace and paradise in the Arabic language, we say assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Now, Queen Aziza, are you with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you indeed. I attempted to contact Brother Eddie. However, I kept getting it kept saying that something was wrong with that number.
Okay, I'll try to get him on the phone. No problem.
Assalamu alaikum, Queen.
Wa alaikum salam, Student Minister James Muhammad, my dear brother. How are you this evening?
I'm fine by Allah's grace. Happy to be here. And inshallah, in my right mind.
Yes,
praise be to Allah for that.
That's very important, God. I know.
Yes, sir.
Every morning I wake up to make fives and prayer. I know it's by Allah's grace I'm in my right mind, because otherwise I wouldn't be thinking about prayer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. As you know, this is Conscious Black Nation, where we delve into situations, we delve into problems, if you want to call it that. But the thing is that after we delve into what the problem is, I'll use that language, then what we want to do is provide practical solutions based out of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and today under the guidance and leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that individuals can use every day in their everyday life to solve those problems, to get solutions. And our subject tonight is taken from the book of John again. You know, I feel like I've been hanging out with John a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
And our subject is entitled, You Shall Know the Truth, and the Truth Shall Make You Free. And it's taken from the book of John, chapter 8, it goes from the 28th to the 32nd verse, so that we can have some clarity on this. It says, Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's where our subject is taken from. And I want to start with you with our first question, Brother Student Minister James Muhammad. The first question is, today, in this particular point in time in history, why are we as a people so divided?
I'm sorry, you broke up on that last part of your question. Could you repeat it, please?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, certainly. The question is, today, why are we as a people so divided?
Oh, I see. Yes, sir, dear brother. Always we preface our statements with the name of Allah, with the help of Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. We thank him for raising the Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the wonderful example of a servant of God. Not a servant, but the servant and representative of both God and his Christ, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And again, in their names, I greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Now, to the question, we're divided for a number of reasons, most recent of which, of course, is the transatlantic slave experience. What happened in the course of and in the plan and process of making a slave They begin to divide us one against the other on the basis of every distinction the slave might manifest. Many of you who are listening tonight, I'm sure, are familiar with Willie Lynch and his program and plan of making a slave, a perpetual slave. And one of the principles or steps of that process was to use the differences, however major or minor, that existed among the slaves and pit those differences one against the other. He would use shades of color. He would use location, the slaves that were in the house and the slaves that were in the field. He would use height. He would use closeness of features to him. He would use every distinction that the slave would manifest during the transatlantic slave experience, and then exalt those differences and use those differences to pit us one against the other. Some he would give privilege to, and some he would deny privilege to. Some he would make believe are better simply because they had certain characteristics that resembled the slave master. And some he would make feel utterly animalistic and below animals, in fact, as a result of having more distinctive features of their African origin. So we are divided as a result of what was fed to us, what was ingrained in us, as a process of mental brain manipulation, if you will, by making us believe that we were all different. And today we manifest the residual effects of that process. We are divided one against the other. And one of the worst things he could do was give us his religion. His religion called Christianity. And then forbid us from worshiping or practicing or observing that religion in his houses of worship. And so we had to denominate from him, which led to denomination between us. And so now we are divided on religious lines. We're divided on economic lines, political lines, geographical lines. We are divided in every sphere of human existence because the enemy sowed the seed of division in our minds and ultimately in our genetic makeup. So I'll stop right there, dear brother. That's one of the reasons why we're divided.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. And Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir. I want to acknowledge Brother Kareem that I think Brother Eddie is on the phone. Brother Eddie, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam, family.
Is that you making all that noise?
Yeah, it is. Hold on.
Okay. All right. Well, he's been on for a minute,
yes.
So I want to yield to the distinguished gentleman on that question, Brother Kareem. I think he heard you.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Brother Eddie, assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. And did you hear the question? If not, I'll repeat it, bro.
Please repeat, brother. Please repeat.
Well, yes, sir. And, you know, our subject tonight is you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And our first question on that subject is, in your view, why are we as a people so divided?
Okay. First, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I thank Allah for coming in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. And I thank him for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for without them, we would all be dead. We would not have any semblance of unity. And I would begin to have a proper answer to this question. In the Torah, Pharaoh is talking to his constituents, and he says, come, let us deal wisely with them. lest they multiply, join on to an enemy of ours and come against us. Here we have unity between two parties. It is also not just between an enemy, but the enemy is also the knowledge that puts them outside of the context of slavery. When you have taken a people and your whole work, your whole purpose, your whole directive has been to destroy them and to break them apart and make them your tools, in order to continue that, you have to keep them from recognizing and coming up out of the condition that gave you that power in the first place. And please bear with me as I try to put this together, spur of the moment.
Yes, sir.
But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said two things, and I think that ties this properly together. One is that our unity is more powerful than an atomic bomb. And two, in the theology of time, he taught that justice would be the tool by which Almighty God Allah would bring the enemy down. Am I making sense so far?
That's
so
right.
If justice is the rectifying of what has been done wrong, and the enemy unjustly, because his world must come up on injustice, was created by disuniting and then using us because we have been broken from our parts, as the scripture says, our unity would be that atomic bomb that would be the justifying of the condition, and that just weapon of unity will completely destroy and undo his world. So when I ask why are we so disunited, one is because that's the means by which he came into power, the enemy, Satan. But two, where should we continue to remain disunited? Because that's the only way, not only may his world may survive, but he can survive. Because the Bible talks about an eye and eye, a tooth for a tooth, and a life for a life, you see? And he has taken our lives. He has taken us. So it behooves him that we remain disunited. I say that because this topic of disunity is not just a topic of us coming together. It's not just a topic of us, you know, establishing farmland and establishing all these things. But this is a topic of the execution of justice. Because to tell a man who has conquered you that we're going to unite and stand up and be an army of God, that threatens their existence. So it is for us to understand that it is not just a matter of 1555 Sir John Hawkins brought the first of us to the shores of Jamestown, but it is a matter of in 2013 he actively and continues to keep us disunited because it is a matter of survival and our unity is an act of war. This is all we agree. So we have to think like that, that while we are disunited is because it is an active and living problem. And we must actively engage us being disunited because it's not just, to restate, it is not just us having been through slavery and something happened that we're just disunited, but now it is actively important for him. So we are being disunited on a daily basis because a live, living Satan that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is revealing to us in this time of what must be done through this verbal showdown, that we are being broken apart as God and his Christ are continually trying to work to reunite us. And I pray that I properly and best answer the question, that it may continue to shed some light.
All praise is due to Allah. Oh, yes, sir. All the input that comes here, because as we know, as the scripture also says, but two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So any response that speaks to the need that we have is a correct response. And so, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. Now, so you heard the question at least three times, so to bring some balance, because you know I'm about balance, we want to get your take on that same question.
Oh, wow, we so divided. Well, I can tell you this. I don't know if I want to go that deep. Okay, so
go ahead.
the like the universe, there's a wobble. The world in itself turns on its axis, and there's a wobble in our nature. And so God created us in righteous nature, and then there was one that was made to be contrary to him. And that one who created that contrary nature used religion, the goodness of religion, divided the books of truth, and therefore divided a people. So as time and, you know, space have gone on, we have so conformed to the nature that I feel that, you know, that Yaqub have created. We are so conformed to that. And, you know, we're talking about less than 200 years out of slavery, but still with all of the knowledge that has been exposed and all of the knowledge that has been shared, we are still divided. So we can look at the historical fact, but then we have to look at the spiritual facts of why we are so divided, and that is because of the control of the mindset. So just because you may appear to be physically free, you are still in bondage mentally, and that mental bondage can last longer than anything else, any physical bondage that you may have. You can die a fool, not ever being free, because you refuse to accept the knowledge of truth. I never seen a community or a group of people who understand truth and cannot come to a point of unity. So we are still being misled by our media. We are still being misled by educational and spiritual institutions. And until we decide that it is the true desire of our hearts to seek and receive truth, we're going to forever be divided. So we're in the valley of decision, and it's up to us as individuals, and inshallah, all those who choose to gravitate towards truth will. And that's my answer, Brother Kareem. Even though you caught me off guard, I'm going to get you for that.
Oh, praise you to Allah. Thank you, Kareem, for your answer. And I mean, your answer, actually, and I think both Brother Student Minister James Muhammad and Brother Eddie for their answers, because they actually segue, as they say, into the next thing that I'm going to share with us. And that is out of the mighty, mighty book, Message to the Black Man in America by Elijah Muhammad. And it's in the section entitled Original Man. It's on page 41. Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, we need an education that eliminates division among us, acquire an education that creates unity and makes us desire to be with our own. The acquiring of knowledge for our children and ourselves must not be limited to the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. It should instead include the history of the black nation, the knowledge of civilization, of man and the universe, and all the sciences. It will make us a greater people of tomorrow. We must instill within our people the desire to learn and then use that learning for self. We must be obsessed with getting the type of education we may use toward the elevation and benefit of our people. When we have such people among us, we must make it possible for them to acquire this wealth, which will be beneficial and useful to us. One of the attributes of Allah, the all-wise God, who is the supreme being, is knowledge. Knowledge is the result of learning and is a force or energy that makes its bearer accomplish or overcome obstacles, barriers, and resistance. In fact,
God means possessor of power and force. And before I move to the next question, just a few definitions, because our subject is you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, as we know, Webster and those other people, they do a fair job. And so I'm going to use their information because it'll be easy for anyone who's listening to go and look these words up. But to know is described or defined as to perceive directly, to have experience of, to be aware of the truth or factuality of, to have a practical understanding of. Truth is defined as fidelity, constancy, sincerity in action and character, the body of real things, God, the body of true statements and propositions, faithful, and it originates from the Sanskrit word dharuna, which means hard. And for those who don't know what Sanskrit is a language that comes out of what's called the subcontinent of India, and it is one of the oldest languages on the planet. And last but not least, the word make. The word make is defined as behave, act, to begin an action, to cause to happen, to cause to exist, to bring into being by forming, shaping, or altering material, to fashion, to frame or formulate in the mind. From the Greek, magnia, to need. And need, meaning K-N-E-A-D, kneading like you knead bread for those who bake. And with those definitions, I'm going to move on to our second question. And I want to ask you, Brother Eddie, first, the second question is, why is it so hard for black men and women to work together?
Thank you, brother. How do I put this? Well, the only thing that can come to mind is the idea of life. And what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, that life is about choices. Life is also what you understand about yourself. You know,
yes, sir.
The Caucasian has given us a life based on the ideas that he has put in our minds, the mark of the beast, as it says, on our foreheads. So we seek to, as the first law of life is self-preservation, and that cannot be escaped. That is why it is called a law. But if you escape that, you die. So it says, so if the first law of life is self-preservation, you preserve whatever your life is, regardless to what you say it is. So he taught us that our life is, as Brother James talked about earlier, the Willie Lynch syndrome. In order to make it in this life, I have to be separate. I have to be better than the other nigga. I have to be acceptable to the Caucasian. I have to represent what he says. I have to represent what he taught. I have to represent what that white is right. And in that definition of that type of life, there is no such thing as black unity. So we do all that preserves that life. So when you talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad coming from Master Farah Muhammad with the knowledge of self, he says, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. What does that mean? Because if we have the knowledge of self, that proper life, we can have the fullness of life. Because to be in a life that is outside of our nature is a limited life. It is like any tool. It is, if you take a spoon and use it outside of its nature, outside of as a hammer, that spoon won't really do you much for very long. It'll do the job for a moment before it's lost to what's called wear and tear. The same thing with us. So to have life more abundantly, we have to come into the proper knowledge of self so we are preserving the proper life. prayer making effect to us. So we ask, why is it so hard for us as black people to remain united? That very principle. We're not living the proper life. We don't have the proper knowledge of self, because if I have the knowledge of the black man is God, the black man is the first man, he is the original man, the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe, that types of life, that knowledge of that life kicks into motion the law of life to preserve. So to preserve it, I must bound with others like myself, to work with others and be attracted to others like myself, because I see value in myself and therefore those like me through the knowledge of self. So the enemy was very wise. He gave us his mind. He was Yaqub. And if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, is Yaqub in reverse, giving us the knowledge of self, then Yaqub, Jah, was to take out of us the knowledge and feed us the brown germ. The brown germ thinking to kill the darker, save the lighter. And we have that mind. The enemy has put us in his mind. So it says, born in sin, in the Bible, and shaped in iniquity. So that is why it's so hard. It is because we are made devils. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, stop using the word devil. Satan, because Satan has made us devils. Today, many of us are all devils. So he has to go to war with the one who made us that way. Because many of us as black people are doing things far worse to ourselves than Caucasians ever did to us in before integration. Far worse. When we have killed 600 of our own babies in Chicago last year, that is far worse than what they have done to us. We have become proficient devils. Because it is worse when you kill yourself than when an enemy kills you. Because then the enemy doesn't have to do any work. You see. Then he has fulfilled his job. So that is why I would say that it is so hard for us to be disunited. It is so hard for us to unite. It's because we're living a life that in order to survive at that level of understanding, we must preserve white superiority. That's the answer that I believe that Allah puts on me to say. Thank
you, brother. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. All praise is due to Allah. And Brother James, same question to you, sir.
Yes, sir, beloved. I'd like to go to the scriptures. As the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us, that if we don't see him through the lens of Scripture, then we're not seeing him properly. And if we're not seeing him properly, then we're not seeing the people and the condition of the people he represents properly. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us that just before he stood up to rebuild the work of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he was in the movies with his wife, Mother Khadija, and they were viewing a movie dealing with the assassination of Lincoln. And he said at that time, he had what I believe was a revelatory experience. He said a voice went off in his head telling him to read Psalms. Read Psalms. And it repeated this command. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, what Psalms? And the answer was the 83rd Psalms. And this scripture points to and deals with and ties together both questions 1 and 2 that you have posed. And I'll read it.
Yes,
keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They have hated thee and have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, and this is the central point of this reading, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may not be or may no more be in remembrance. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in sharing with us his wonderful exegesis of this scripture, said that it points to the enemy's efforts to keep us divided so that we cannot do those things that further a nation as other civilized nations of the earth do. Cut them off. Cut them off from what? Cut them off from anything so that the name, not of Israel, but that the name of God, their natural language, their natural worship, their natural God and the knowledge of whom, cut them off from that so that they cannot be a nation. And this is what speaks to both your questions, Brother Kareem.
Yes,
this is the reason why we're divided. This is the reason why it is so difficult to work together with black people. First, cut them off from their God. Cut them off from the remembrance of their religion. Why? Because when you cut the human being off from his connection with the originator, then you devaluate him. You make him less than what he is by nature, which is a manifestation of the God that created him. So cut them off and reduce them in their minds and in their self-perception and the perception of each other as something of no value. Now, if I think you have no value because you look like me and I think I don't have any value, then I'm not inclined to work with you who has no value. I'm not inclined to trust you who has no value. I'm not inclined to respect you who has no value. I'd rather work for anyone or work with anyone other than you, because you, like me, are a slave and have no value, or are a nigger, if you pardon that expression, and have no value. This is directly as a result of the enemy's plotting and planning and taking crafty counsel one with the other against the people of God. And they have said, cut them off from being a nation. And after the so-called Emancipation Proclamation and the so-called freeing of the slaves, they instituted what is called Jim Crow laws. And these Jim Crow laws, one of which was that black people were not allowed to assemble. Black people were not allowed to meet, to strategize, to work with, to be among, to plan, to plot, if you will, among themselves. They made it against the law for us to gather in any number. And so they successfully, by the reduction of our self-value, our self-respect and our self-perception, they successfully cut us off from being a nation and cut us off from the ability or even the inclination and desire to work with and be united with self. So I'll stop right there, dear brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, sir.
And Queen Aziza, we definitely need to hear from the MGT on this.
What was the question? Did you say why men and women cannot get along? Was that the question?
That is the second question. Why is it so hard for black men and women to work together?
Well, we were taught not to work together. You know, back in the days of slavery, the man was ridiculed and demeaned in front of the woman and in front of the children, and he was made to look less than a man. And throughout our history here, that has been perpetuated with the policies of America. And so women in particularly are conditioned not to view her man in a godly way, in a spiritual way. Women are taught to look for the benefits, if any, of a man, or to know that a man is not really beneficial to her except for one reason or the other. You know, this is a conditioning of a people, and by a wicked people. And so, you know, well, let me put it like this. Just keep it real.
That's right.
You know, we have been, women in particular, and I say women in particularly, because women are very, very intelligent. And all my sisters, yeah, I believe, are very highly intelligent. And I think that they ignore the fact of what our men have been through. There's this false sense of entitlement when they say that a nation rises no higher than its woman. We sometimes, that's taken out of context, and we tend to think too much of ourselves. But I would like to say to my sisters that if a nation can rise no higher than its woman, then on whose shoulders will you be standing? And so certainly this white man is not going to elevate you to the place where Allah has intended you to be. So in the conditioning of the mind of women in particularly, along with the policies of America, this creates a great division amongst our people. Even in the time of the New Deal, when welfare was established to help those families that had become indigent during the Depression of the 1920s and 30s, later on, the policy was implemented that, okay, well, we'll feed the mother and the children, but the man has to be removed from the house. And so if that man could not make the provisions needed for the household, you know, you didn't need him. You needed to remove him. And now this government has become your man because he's giving you a check every month. He's giving you food stamps every month, and he has become the primary caretaker of the household. So the man was kind of pushed out of the home life, and in that process, that became a conditioning of the mind of how women look at men in general. We hear it all the time. They say men ain't nothing but dogs. It's not necessarily from their experience, but it's what they've been told from generation to generation to generation. And so, you know, that is the reason why a lot of men and women and a lot of the relationships and marriages fail, because we go into relationships with preconceived notions. We go into relationships with these barriers. We're waiting on the axe to fall, and we are not allowing one another to understand one another, to console one another in our sorrows, to look at what each other are facing so we can come together as a unified force and make the relationship work. And as long as we allow ourselves to have an open mind towards the enemy system and a closed mind towards Allah's system, we're going to always be that way. So we have the power, and I don't want to leave it on a negative, since I always come back to, we have the power to redirect and rebuild our families and strengthen our relationships. And no matter if you're Christian, you're Muslim, you're Buddhist, whatever, if you turn to Scripture and absorb the truth of Scripture, no Scripture teaches division of husband and wife. And so if you will gravitate to the spiritual in a person and in the practice of your relationship, it will unify us all. And that's the end of my answer, Brother Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And thank you. That's beautifully expressed. There's no reason to be nervous. I mean, when you bring in truth, truth is what we're here to discuss, the truth, so that we can all be made
free. You know, and on that note, I want to share this. Now, in our lessons, we're given a lesson, and it's in Lost Found Muslim Lesson Number 1. It's point number 7. We are asked this question, and the language is the language of the day, which was back in the 30s. And the question is asked, why does the devil keep our people illiterate? The answer is so that he can use them for a tool and also a slave. He keeps them blind to themselves so that he can master them. And then after that, it says illiterate means ignorant. Now, in the dictionary, I looked it up in the dictionary, I checked it out. They describe or define illiterate as having little or no education, violating approved patterns of speaking or writing, a lack of familiarity with language, speaking, and now check this one out, or a particular field of knowledge. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and we mentioned this last week on the show, but I'm going to go back into it real briefly again. He mentioned to us that there are many things that we must have, but he mentioned that there were three things that were a must for us to be successful. And I know that there were certain sciences they didn't teach us yet, but I'm not talking about those. But those three things he told us we had to have was, he said that we had to have a mastery. We had to be masters of mathematics. You know, we need to think over that. That's for those of us who are conscious. We need to be masters of mathematics. He told us that we had to have a thorough or complete knowledge of history. That goes back to knowledge itself. And thirdly, and certainly not least, though, he said that we had to have a command of the English language. And I'm one who is, the other two are most important. However, this English language that we use, because the language is how we communicate with one another mostly. So when it says we have to have a command of the language, what did he mean? Or what does he mean? And checking out that word command, command means to be able to use with authority that one may obtain the optimum value or benefit from. So that means that when we have to have, he said we have to have a command of the English language, that means we got to know down to the letter what each word we're using means, because there is power in these words. And on that note, before I get to the next question, where we took our subject from, which is the book of John, and particularly chapter 8, verse number 32, where it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oftentimes I hear, the majority of time I hear people, when they quote unquote quote that, they say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's a misnomer, because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, years ago, if I remember correctly, it was on a tape back then, because we weren't using CDs and DVDs back then. But back in either 84 or 85, he made the statement himself and said, you can't set someone free. People earn freedom by their actions. And to back that up, I want you to think about this. I can go into the kitchen, and I can pull out how to eat to live, and I can gather all the correct ingredients, and I can cook it at the proper temperature. I can think good and wonderful thoughts so that that type of energy surrounds what I'm cooking. And then I can take it out of the pots and the pans, and I can place it on the plate. And you're sitting at the table, and you've got all the right utensils. And then I set the plate in front of you. You still won't get the benefit of that meal unless you do some work, which is pick up those tools and eat that food. So that is why it's so important having a command of the language, because it says ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And on that note, I want to come to you first, dear brother student minister James Muhammad, and ask you, what is truth?
Well, dear brother Kareem, if you don't mind, let's look at all of the words in context in their denotative meaning, which means from the dictionary, and their connotative meaning, which means what they suggest. And so the word thou, according to the dictionary, is an archaic word. It's the personal pronoun of the second person singular in the nominative case. In other words, used to denote the person or thing addressed. For example, thou shall not kill. Thou,
yes,
meaning you, understood. The word shall or shall means plan to, intend, or expect to. Will have to, is determined to, or definitely will, according to law and directives, a must, or is, or are obligated to. Now, that's interesting that these words appear in a conversation that the Jesus is having with the Jews. He said, thou shalt know the truth. Well, it shall means plan to, intend to, or expect to. It's indicating that this will be at a future time with a future Jesus and a future Jew. In other words, this conversation is a prototypical picture or record of a conversation that's going to be had in modern time. You shall know the truth. The word know, as you described or defined, is to perceive as fact or truth, to apprehend clearly and with certainty. Well, how can we know except we have a teacher? And how can we have a teacher except that teacher be sent? And as the Psalms, which I have before mentioned, commands that one who ultimately will be the teacher to keep not his silence, and he's called a God, by the way, and told, hold not thy peace and be not still. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in his recent installment of The Time and What Must Be Done, the latest installment, installment number 20, he said, the biggest thing you can do in this hour, in this time, is to give the people the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the enemy of God, and the knowledge of self. And so, in defining that particular phrase in the Bible, the word the, thou shalt know the truth. The is the definite article. It's used especially before a noun with a specifying or particularizing effect, as opposed to the indefinite or generalizing force of the indefinite article a or and. So thou shalt know not just truth, but the truth, the definite truth, the truth that will make you free, the actual state of matter, the facts or conformity with facts or reality, a verified or indisputable fact or proposition. This is the truth to which the Jesus was referring when he was talking to those so-called Jews. They shall know the truth, and the truth will or shall make them free. But since they never were in bondage, as they clearly stated in their response to Jesus, that they were never in bondage, so why in words are you saying we shall be made free? Then he tells them, he who is the servant of sin, or he who is guilty of sin, is the servant of sin. And the servant of sin abideth not in the house for forever. And so what this Jesus is referencing is the sin that the Jews not only have committed, but will commit. And when they commit these sins, there'll be a teacher. There'll be one who is raised up to tell them the truth of their sins and to tell the world of the truth of these so-called Jews, that they are not real Jews. And Jesus said he would make them of the synagogue of Satan. These false Ashkenazi Khazarian Jews who have been implanted or transplanted in that area of the world called Palestine. Ye shall know the truth. This is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is giving to us today. The truth that will make us free. Free of who? And free of what? Free of the grasp of that satanic mind that has been manipulating the peoples of the world under the mask of Judaism. But in reality, Satanism. Shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you or make you free. And so I'll stop right there. Dear brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. I mean, as I like I said, you not only hit the nail on the head, you drove it through the board. And that being the case.
All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir. We're coming up on 9 o'clock. It's 8:56. And I have some very quick announcements, real quick, get them out of the way so we can get back to our subject. Now for those of you, this is a treat. So you don't want to miss it. For those of you who are going to be in the St. Louis area within the next week, particularly this coming Sunday, June the 2nd, and those of you who live here in the St. Louis area, you need to get on top of it. We're going to have the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan here. His subject, Surviving the Time, Reclaiming Our Youth, that Sunday, June the 2nd, 6 p.m. The doors open at 5 p.m. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be at the New Northside Conference Center at 5939 Goodfellow Boulevard. For tickets, contact Muhammad Smiles, number 28, phone number 314-361-4555. Again, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan here, live, St. Louis, Missouri, Surviving the Times, Reclaiming Our Youth. Sunday, June the 2nd, 6 p.m., doors open at 5 p.m., New Northside Conference Center, 5939 Goodfellow Boulevard. Now, you know, this is Conscious Black Nation, and it's always, you know, let's be real about it. It takes money to do anything that we do in this world today. And two businesses that we need to support, one is Kareem's Construction. You got over 40 years of experience in the areas of handyman services, plumbing, electrical, flooring, painting, roofing. Doors, windows, new construction, remodeling, room additions, and waterproofing, free estimates. Contact us at 314-651-1094. Remember, beauty is in the hand of the builder. Conscious Black Nation is also sponsored by Kemet Must Gold. Kemet Must Gold is an eclectic blend of all-natural aromatherapy oils that provide help in the following areas. Dispels negative energy, increases knowledge, absorption, helps heal emotional instability, and stimulates pineal activity. It's available from Amin Holistic Health. Call 314-616-2060 or visit our website at www.aminwholistichealth.com. Back to our program. Brother Eddie, the question I have for you is, what does it mean to know?
Well, first, I want to comment that Minister James is so heavy that it is almost cruel that you would make me follow up the brother. But I'll do my best.
All praise is due to Allah.
to know the truth.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, bro.
Let me choose two ways. One, to know something. You know, faith without works is dead. To anything to
That's
have
right.
life, it must have motion. In FOI class tonight, we were talking about, our brother was teaching on wisdom. And the way he put it down is wisdom is work. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the wisest among us because not because he's sitting in a room reading books, but because his knowledge is put to work and the experience of his
That's
knowledge
right.
makes him
That's
so
right.
wise.
That's right, brother.
So when we talk about knowing, it's taking what we know and going to work with it. Then you know what you know. I've been a martial artist
Come
since
on.
I was a small child. And I can show you or tell you all day long, I know this technique, that technique, such technique, but you would never truly know that until you saw me in action. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it best, and we've all heard this quote many times, we don't need to sit down and talk about what must be done. Get up and do something.
That's
you
right.
Said, the hereafter is no sit-down kingdom. We cannot sit down. We cannot lay down. We must get up and go to
That's
work.
Right.
So we are being led by the wisest men, not from behind the desk, not from behind the door, simply through writing a book, but our men are in motion today. The second form of that, of the answer to that question, of how does one know you have the truth, I'd like to take from the Holy Quran and Surah 69, which brother had brought to mind during answering his question, it's called Al-Haqqa, the sure truth. It says, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I'll take just a few verses. The sure truth. What is the sure truth? And what would make thee realize what the sure truth is? Thamud and Ad called the calamity a lie. Then as for Thamud, they were destroyed by the severe punishment. And as for Ad, they were destroyed by a roaring, violent wind. We are living in the day of judgment. And we see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan going now 20 on to 21 weeks strong on this The Time of What Must Be Done series. And, of course, if any of us as believers have not seen one yet, we must question whether or not we are really believers, that a man is putting something like this down and we're not paying attention. But as he is speaking, he is like the lamb, and I believe it's the book of Revelations, if I'm mistaken, forgive me, where the lamb is opening the seal, and every time he'd open the seal, judgment will come thundering down.
That's
and that
right.
is what he is doing. He is opening the seal, and apparently there are 52 of them. But as he is opening, you see calamity. But the calamities that are following right behind him are making us to know what he is saying is the sure truth. In the revealing, as Brother James is talking about, the revealing of the synagogue of Satan. We are knowing that it's the truth, because every time he says it, he's making it come down. As actually the one before, in number 19, as soon as he finished speaking, tornadoes ripped through a 500,000 square mile area of the United States.
Come on.
Not to mention the continuous calamity that we saw with the snow, with the fire, with the floods, flooding now in Texas that have claimed two lives. From the reports of the people on the ground and the scientists, they have never seen anything like it. The hail that is coming down. This is not made up by some conspiracy theorist Muslims. This is happening. So if the question is not how do we know the truth, the question is why are you not recognizing it when it's in your face? Now, they're recognizing it. Those who hear the minister, they recognize it because they're getting beat by it. And those of us in the bosom of the minister who are blessed to watch it pass us by. I see on Facebook believers in it, and they're just watching these storms that are claiming the lives of those around them, but we are safely moving through the bosom of the minister, bosom of the message. We cannot lose sight of what is so obvious to them, that the sure truth is that we have a man who was behind the man who was bringing us the calamity, bringing us the end of their world. That is the truth. John Lewis Farrakhan said that every truth has a time, and the truth for this time is who is the synagogue of Satan, and that this world must come, and not just must come, is come to an end. So it becomes expedient that we hear the words, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and her plagues." You don't have to ask what plagues. You don't have to ask what sins. This is the revealing of everything. That same chapter in Surah 69 talks about the revealing. Those whose book is handed in their right hand and those whose book is added in their left. This is a revealing. This is the time of judgment. And the judgment that you receive is the proclamation of your truth. Whether you were wicked, whether you were righteous. The minister Farrakhan said, in the time of what must be done, said, this is the time where your evil will be, you will be repaid quickly, almost instantly. And so will your good. So that's the truth that we all must recognize. One, let us work. As minister said to us in a believers meeting, actually, in the FOI meeting, national FOI meeting we had, he said, he quoted, "Let us go to work while it is day, for when the night comes, no man can work." So that is how I would best answer that question, brother.
Thank you, brother. All praise is due to Allah. And going to Quran myself, Surah 94, or chapter 94, entitled as Inshira, or the expansion. And it reads, we say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed shaitan." It says, "In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, have we not expanded for thee thy breast and removed from thee thy burdens which weighed down thy back, and exalted for thee thy mention? Surely with difficulty is ease, with difficulty is surely ease. So when thou art free from anxiety," and "from anxiety" is in parentheses, which means they added that. So it literally would read in the translation, "So when thou art free, work hard and make thy Lord thy exclusive object." We've got the word "free" again. And Queen Aziza, are you there? Are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Now, I know you're going to get me for this, but however, I'm going to pose those same two questions to you, but together. You know, what is truth and what is to know, in your view?
Okay, I just got through running down the stairs. Okay. Okay.
Take your time.
Truth.
I'm
going to give you the short version. Truth is the murderer of lies.
Come on now.
That's what truth is. Truth is a revelation of what is actual and what is factual. Truth is what you see for certain in its purest form and is minus falsehood or minus covering, is revealing of what is actual, like I said. to know the truth. To know the truth is, how can I put it? Maybe I put it like this, is a blessing to have the mindset to recognize the truth. And when you recognize the truth, there's an obligation, a duty that goes along with that truth. It does no good to know the truth and not share it or not extend it or not use it in a way that is beneficial to yourself or to your people. So to know the truth is a lot of the reason why many people, believe it or not, turn a blind eye to the truth, because truth brings about a duty and a responsibility. So if you are one who is rebellious, if you are one who has a sloth or a lazy behavior because you don't want to do the work that truth obligates you to do, then it's easier for you to turn a blind eye and not involve yourself in that work of the truth. Because truth cannot be put on a shelf to just sit there. Truth has to be carried out. So that's what truth is to me, Brother Kareem, and knowing the truth. That was the short version. I have to catch my breath. I'm 50 years old. I can't be running up and down my staff.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I didn't know you were doing your cardio right now.
No, I wasn't, but I was cooking dog food and I almost burned it, so I had to come back downstairs.
All praise is due to Allah. And on that note, I want to share again, and this comes from Message to the Black Man. It's in the section entitled The Bible and Holy Quran. It's on page 98. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and the name of this particular chapter is Truth. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, okay, Allah says in Quran, says, and fix not up the truth with falsehood, nor hide the truth while you know. Holy Quran, Surah or Chapter 2, Ayah 42. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, the Holy Quran is a great book when it is understood. The above verse warns against mixing truth with falsehood, as it is the policy of the devil. But nearly all the religious leaders of Christianity are guilty of mixing up the divine truth with falsehood. Now they don't know which is truth and which is falsehood. They are really confused, thinking and planning against the truth, trying to hide falsehood. They mixed up the truth of the Bible so much that today they admit someone has tampered with the book. The Bible now teaches against evil and for evil. For instance, it says that we should not drink strong drinks. Wine is prohibited in some places, in others it says that it is good for us. The truth must triumph over falsehood, as day triumphs over night. When we deny the truth, it shows that we love falsehood more than truth. If we fear to speak the truth for the sake of falsehood, this is not only hiding the truth, but it is actually showing fear and distrust in the divine supreme being, his wisdom and his power. This hiding and mixing the truth with falsehood because of fear of the enemy devils is taking a great number of our people to hell with the devil. And on that, Brother Student Minister James Muhammad, our next question, what is the truth? And I know you've already gone into this, and Brother Eddie also, everyone has, but I want to get some more meat out of it. What is the truth that makes us free?
Thank you, Brother Kareem. Before I respond to the question, though, I want to say to my beloved brother, Eddie, Listen, dear brother, I greatly appreciate your praise, if you will, and your compliment. But I have to say to you and to all that is listening, I'm a lightweight. I'm being used as a vessel through which I express the wisdom of the heavyweight. And sometimes the vessel is viewed as the source of what is coming through the vessel. But the reality of it is, brother, I am a student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I am a very, very lightweight expressing what the teacher, who is the heavyweight, has given me to express. But I thank you for your complimentary words, dear brother. And I want to say you're handling yourself very well. I'm edified and inspired by your words, man. That's the truth.
All
praises are due to Allah. Now, to the question at hand, again, the, meaning the definite article. You know, there's truth and truths that have been in existence since the beginning of time. But what is the truth? The truth must be determined by the time and what must be done. And so the truth has to be a truth that fits the conditions of the time, solves the problems of the time, and gives one the wherewithal to survive in the time and to prosper in that particular time. Again, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said the biggest thing or the biggest truth that you can tell or give people today is the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the enemy of God, and the knowledge of self. And this is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing day in and day out, week in and week out, specifically in his lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done. The scripture says, as I close my response, thou shalt know the truth. Well, knowledge is good. To know is wonderful. But Solomon said, and this is in support of what of the answer you gave, Brother Eddie, which is a wonderful answer. Solomon said, get knowledge, get wisdom, but in all thy getting, get understanding. And as Brother Eddie said, we just can't know something and not be examples of what we know or exemplify what we know in our actions. And so Solomon said, get understanding. That's the principal thing. Why? Because understanding is the practical application of what you know. So it's good to know, it's good to be wise. But if there's no action that demonstrates the wisdom of what you know, then what you know goes for naught. So we have to not only be doers and speakers of the word, hearers and speakers of the word, but we must also be doers of the word. And again, the word fitting the conditions of the time and what must be done. The truth that is the definite article today and fitting the conditions today is the exposure and revelation of the man of sin who has been hiding all these many years under the guise of being a spirit, the man of sin, that one who's been hiding not only in the higher echelons of wherever he is geographically, but hiding in the minds of the people. And this is how the man of sin is so effective with the people who are born in sin. There's a man or mind of sin in us. And the external man of sin contacts the internal mind of sin, and then he has an inroad to turning the people of God away from the path of God. Remember, he said, I'm going to awake for them in thy straight path. Well, the straight path, of course, is religion. Yes, it's religious doctrine. He's definitely there in the churches and the synagogues and the mosques and masjids and temples. Oh, he's definitely there. But the straight path also means that part of the mind or the body wherein God resides. The scripture says in the Quran that God is ever, Allah is ever, his throne is ever on the waters. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says that it's referencing the brain and the mind in the brain. As the brain sits on water in the skull, it's talking about the brain of man. And in that brain is an inclination toward righteousness and also an inclination towards unrighteousness. And that inclination towards unrighteousness, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan defines as deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience to God and makes evil fair-seeming. That inclination towards unrighteousness, or devil, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has and is exposing. And now he's exposing the external devil that's sitting up on top of it all to break his ability to connect with the internal devil. And so in the, I believe it's the 75th or 76th surah called Al-Qiyamah, the resurrection. Please correct me for those of you who can. But it says, by the self-accusing spirit.
Come on now.
The resurrection will take place, I swear, by the self-accusing spirit. And that self-accusing spirit is that element of God in us that combats the deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience to God and makes evil fair-seeming. And once we develop the self-accusing spirit, then we cut off that connection that the external devil or Satan has with the internal devil or Satan, and he is through, no longer in power to manipulate the people according to his will. And therefore there shall be in that day a falling away first, but only after the man of sin has been revealed, the son of perdition. Thank you for allowing me that time to answer that question, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, brother, for answering that question so eloquently. And you're absolutely correct. It is Al-Qiyamah. Surah 75 or chapter 75, the resurrection. And that's exactly what it says.
Praise be to Allah. Now, all praise is due to Allah.
So moving forward, and before I ask, what is the last question of the night? Well, before I even do that, let me remind those in our listening audience, I know we've been rolling on. However, those of you who are on the telephone, if you have a question or comment, please hit 1 on your pad. That way you can come into the conversation. You can make your comment, ask your question. Anyone that's in the chat room, type in your question. We'll make sure that your question gets asked. And inshallah, answered by one of the panel members. And with that having been said, I want to preface the last question of the night with this. And this, again, comes from our lesson. It's the famous problem number 13. And problem number 13 reads like this. After learning mathematics, which is Islam, and Islam is mathematics, it stands true. You can always prove it at no limit of time. Then you must learn to use it and secure some benefit while you are living. That is luxury, money, good homes, friendship in all walks of life. Sit yourself in heaven at once. That is the greatest desire of your brother and teachers. And that having been said, before I ask this last question, that right there precludes, from what I understand, any thought of someone, just because we say we've decided to live a righteous life, just because we say we've decided to follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, just because we say that we are students of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that statement right there precludes any idea of someone just handing us the kingdom, so to speak, just handing us. I mean, the last thing it said is sit yourself in heaven. It didn't say the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was going to sit us in heaven. Yes, the statement was made that he will get us to the other side. However, I'm seeing the fact that just like it says, ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. The truth. That means there's some work I got to do. Now, that being the case, I'm going to ask you, Brother Eddie, first this last question. And now that we have the truth, where do we go from here? What are the actions we need to be taking?
All praise due to Allah. I was one call out for the fact that Saturday I was talking to a brother, Lost Found, and he... One thing about the Nation of Venice being here 83 years, there's such a dissemination of knowledge. So even if you have never joined the Nation or sat in the meeting, you've been touched by the wisdom of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But he was arguing another brother who is a Christian who unfortunately has soundly given his heart and mind to Christianity as taught by the Caucasian. And he was arguing about, you know, what's the real history of Jesus, and he was hitting all the right points. But I said, Brother, if Father Hood is all right, let me interject. And I asked, at the end of the day, it is easy to mention or to recognize that the Caucasian has been our enemy. It is easy to recognize the problems in Christianity. It is easy to recognize the problem with America and the world and the system of things. But once we have that knowledge, what plan and what program will take that knowledge and create what we all want and what is written in the scriptures, which is the kingdom of God. And when you ask what must be done, very simply, I would say with absolute confidence and challenge to any who would disagree, it is the plan program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Nation of Islam is the prototype of the kingdom of God. The Nation of Islam is the prototype of the hereafter. So when we ask what must we do, well, you recognize the man that's leading the plan and the program, that's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. One thing I tell brothers is that being in the Nation of Islam is the easiest thing in the world because everything is already given to you. You don't have to reinvent nothing. A wise man has already done all the work. All you have to do is follow instruction. You know, it's almost ironic because he will make your mind so expansive and so broad and so deep, but at the same time, you hardly have to think at all. Just quote the man, and you will be seen as wise as the wisest just from quoting the man. So all we have to do is do what the minister said. He hit us with that 3-year economic program. He told us to all get on Twitter and Facebook and social media and push the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through the format of the time and what must be done. He told us as FOI to go out and push the Final Call newspaper. He told us to bring first-time guests out on Sunday to hear the teaching. He told us to work with our people in the organizations to have the United Front through the Millions More movement. He told us all of these instructions, but somehow we still want to know what do we do. 80 years and still do we have to ask the question? 80 years do we have to sit in confusion? 83 years should we have any doubt on what we should be doing? That is why the Holy Quran says the Muslims say we hear and we obey.
the believers, we hear and we obey. So I don't have to think hard about what it is. You know, the brother who I happened to be talking to, he got so angry. He said, you know, he talking to all the teachers, I don't need no man to lead me. I don't need no man. Well, I said, oh, brother, all this knowledge you have, where did you write the books you read it in? And our problem is, people, we're so enamored by the teaching of a spook and a spirit that we don't recognize that everything comes through a man. So the question, even though the question you worded, brother, is what must we do? I would like to be so bold as to direct that question to be, what man will lead us to what to do? And that man is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the 3-year economic programs, Muhammad's blueprint to end poverty and want. That there is so much more to that program than just collecting a few cents a day.
That's
but
right.
That program is like drill. What is drill? Drill is the foundation of disciplinary training. It compels the habit of obedience and stimulates the desire for cooperative strength. The 3-year economic program, the motion, the method of taking a little of your money and putting it aside for your people, drills into you the mind of unity and love for self. It, without you knowing it, that little nickel is encouraging you, it is putting in you your natural mind of unity and love for self. See, I'm giving something of myself for the whole. A plan,
right.
A program, the what must be done is being brought to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And if we would do that in just encouraging our people, even if they don't become registered Muslims, but Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, through you, I will get all of my people. Who is all of his people? Everyone who would come under the authorship and rule of God's kingdom and his knowledge and his wisdom. And who is that? Every single human being on the planet will come under that rulership. Because he came to black people doesn't mean when the hereafter comes that the Asian and the European and all the races in between won't be up under that. No, sir. All of us. All of us. But that's what I would say to that question. Let us continue to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and then we hear him, and then obey. And that will solve all of our problems.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And Queen Aziza.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am. Come on, we got to hear from the MGT now. And this is the last question of the night. And that question is, now that we have the truth, where do we go from here?
And you asked me that, you want me to follow behind Brother Eddie and Brother James? Wow. Okay.
Well,
we go
you
from
now.
Here with the truth. Well, where we go from here with the truth is that, number one, we go to work. We go to work in ushering in the hereafter. You know, I don't want people to get spooky about heaven. You know, we've long had the fairy tale, for lack of a better word, about heaven, that piece of pie in the sky when you die. You know, the minister has given very specific instructions on how we need to pull together. And horseback on what my beloved brother Eddie said, we've had 83 years plus of instructions. And so in order for the hereafter to be ushered in, someone has to build it. Someone has to go forth and put that vision of the hereafter into fruition. And so once we have this truth, we have to hear and we have to obey and we have to do the work. So inshallah, after we know the truth, hopefully we'll go and build on that truth and build in what we desire in a righteous way the hereafter to be, and starting with ourselves, not only building infrastructures like hospitals and schools and manufacturing companies and things of that nature, but also building a true brotherhood and a true sisterhood and true love-filled marriages and true families, because that's where a nation begins. And so we have to incorporate that truth into all aspects of our lives to usher in the hereafter. So that's my answer, Brother Kareem.
All praises due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. And Brother Stephen James Muhammad. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam, beloved.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. If I may. Thank you, dear brother. First of all, I want to thank you, Brother Kareem, and thank the listening audience and Sister Gidget and my Sister Gidget is Queen Aziza Muhammad. For those of you who may not know, I'm pretty sure all of you know. But and thank you, Brother Eddie, my co-panelist and brother in the struggle.
Yes, sir.
And
as you said,
Brother Eddie, it's being obedient to the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said so aptly and so to the point, you know, don't sit around asking what must be done, what should be done. He said, get up and do something.
Okay.
The truth is here. The plan is here. It's clear. It's laid out. But what we do is we wait for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to do what we ourselves with the truth are instructed to do. We put so much on the man. And as Brother Kareem so eloquently recited, problem number 13, that aspect of which indicates or states to sit ourselves in heaven at once. But that's something it appears we just don't understand. Well, let me just read from the Quran the responsibility of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so we can stop troubling him and criticizing him. Those who call in and say, I don't see you building anything like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad built. Let me just read by the help of Allah, in the name of Allah. This is from the fifth surah or chapter, the 62nd or 67th ayat or verse. O messenger, deliver that which has been revealed to thee from thy Lord. And if thou do it not, thou hast not delivered his message, and Allah will protect thee from men. Surely Allah guides not the disbelieving people. In these words is a clear description of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's responsibility and instruction. Deliver the message and deliver it clearly. And this undoubtedly and indisputably he has done in every nook and cranny, not only in America, but in the earth. He has delivered the message of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, what are we to do once he's done his job, and he, in fact, has done his job? We are to take what he has given us in the way of guidance and then make the word flesh.
Come on now.
Make the word flesh. That's our job. If we want to see businesses in the community, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, how come we who have like minds and have some degree of business acumen or business knowledge, how come we can't put our minds together and put our nickels, dimes, and dollars together and begin to build or create that business that we expect him to do and that we are so apparently so desirous of. In the people, a people who say they are poor, but Jesus in the scripture says, I know you think you're poor in words, but you are rich. Now, I don't know if he was talking about the trillions of dollars that we get or near trillion dollars that we get out of the American economy every year. Maybe Jesus saw that. Maybe he was talking about that. Maybe he was saying, yes, you're poor individually, but collectively as a people, you're rich. And if we would take that, as the minister is directing us to do, just some of that, and put it in a collective bank, we could materialize the word into flesh. But if we don't do it, don't look at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as being blamed for it. No, no, no. Let's look at ourselves. In fact, about it, his job is not to build businesses or even to reproduce what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. That's not his job.
That's right.
That's not his job. He's not a national leader.
That's right.
He's not a nationalist. He's not a business person. No. He's a divine servant and warner of God and a redeemer and deliverer of the people of God. He ain't concerned necessarily about any business building or reproducing a bank or banks or any kind of material business. In this hour, he is concerned about saving the lives of his people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, for the sad prophecy of my people, I say these words. What was and is that sad prophecy? The prophecy of only 144,000 making it to the other side. But he said that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was more valuable to him than a train load of sheep. He said he was more valuable to him than a plane load. I may not be quoting it perfectly, but you'll get the principle. He said, than a plane load of cattle. He said, you're more valuable to me than all of the riches that are found in the earth. He said, because I met those riches when I came into the world, and I'll leave them when I depart. He said, but through you, Brother Farrakhan, I will get all, not some, but all of my people. And that is the value of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That is the mission of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, to save the souls of the people, to redeem and deliver the people from the grasp of Satan and consequently the fall and destruction of Satan's world. That's his job, and he's doing his job. What about us? So let us get up and do something with what he's given us. But I tell you, if we don't, it's certainly not going to impact upon him one way or the other, because he's done his job and is doing his job. And Allah says in the Quran, if we refuse to obey him, then he will raise another people that love him enough to obey him.
Teach.
We better understand, we don't have exclusive rights.
Come on.
Obedience. Obedience to what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching us and is instructing us to do. Obedience. As far as the business and the national material development of the nation, that's on us. And if we don't do it, we may not have it. But we certainly better not look to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as I hear some people calling in, what has he done? I don't see the businesses. I don't see the schools. I don't see the hospitals. Yeah, and you'll never see them until you get up off of your lazy, rusty, dusty, and get together with others who make the same complaint and get busy doing something for yourself. I'm going to end right here before I get carried away, Brother Kareem.
You can go. Go.
Yes, sir. But, you know, it's disheartening, in truth, to hear my brothers and sisters call in criticizing the minister because he has not developed business. He has not developed farmland. He has not developed banks. He has not developed this, that, and the other. They sound like babies. And this is one of the number one reasons why the white man doesn't respect us. Why should he respect us if we're going to continue, particularly in the presence of such wonderful truth that we're getting, wonderful guidance that we're getting, wonderful instruction that we're getting. In the presence of all of that, we are still like beggars sitting at the table of the white man, begging him for that which, if we would be obedient to what we are being taught and trained and instructed, we could obtain and attain for ourselves. It's disheartening. But I want to say to anyone and everyone that is listening, this is our responsibility, brothers and sisters, and you can do it. And one of the reasons why we don't do it is because of that lurking inferiority, Willie Lynch syndrome or germ in our minds that say we can't do it. We can't do it. I don't have enough resource. I don't have any startup money. I don't have this, that, or the other. What do you have? We've got the supreme wisdom. We've got the truth. But the minister, he's very gracious. He's very merciful. He doesn't necessarily blame us, but he's guiding us into a technology that will rid us of that I can't do mindset, the mindset of a slave. It's called Dianetics. And perhaps, Brother Kareem, I know Sister Gidget, you're planning on doing a show dealing with Dianetics, and I'm very happy to hear it and to be a part of it, inshallah. And maybe, Brother Kareem, you can do the same, because the people need to know why we are so ineffective with such great wisdom and instruction that we're getting. Well, there's a reason for it, and there's an answer to it, and a solution to that problem. So I'm going to stop there. I guess no one was in queue, huh, Brother Kareem? I sure would have liked to have heard from the audience. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so bad, but nobody had a question, so... You know, we always want participation, but nobody had a question, so we put it out there for them. And I want to thank you very, very much. And just to, as we say, veget back off of what everyone is saying tonight, but in particular, your response to that final question. You don't not necessarily see when we say in that problem 13 when it says that you must. It says that mathematics is Islam and Islam is mathematics. We're not talking about a religion. We're talking about a way of life. Islam, at its root, means peace. But in a religious sense, Islam means total submission to the will of God. And as my brother Eddie stated earlier, and student minister James Muhammad also stated, when we talk about Islam, we're talking about those who submit their will to do the will of God, regardless of what label you may place on your faith.
That's right.
So when it says you have to learn mathematics, which is Islam, and Islam is mathematics, it says it stands true. You can always prove it in no limit of time. Then you, that means us, me, we, must learn to use it to secure some benefit while you are living. My brother said earlier, faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those who may not necessarily be Muslims, right in the Bible, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, says it all. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Very dry meaning they were dead. That means there was no water in them. That means they had no life in them. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And very quickly, this is not talking about some dead body in the cemetery. We're not talking about zombies. Get the movies out your head. It's talking about a people. I don't know of people that can't find any jobs. I don't know of people that don't know how they're going to pay their bills from day to day, of people that don't know how they're going to eat from day to day, of people who are economically, spiritually, just completely and totally without, it seems, any resources. But God says he's going to provide us with that. But even after providing the dry bones with all of that, look at what the Lord says. He says, so I prophesied and was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Breath meaning life, no motion. Then said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said to us during this 52-week lecture series entitled The Time and What Must Be Done, he said to us, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to him, that with all the teaching, as my brother just said, he's doing his job. But with all the teaching that he's doing, it was still going to take circumstance. We're going to have to be whooped, beat into submission in doing and following the instructions we have been given. As we were told earlier tonight, 83 years we've had this teaching. And I'm not necessarily talking to the masses. Now I'm talking to us that have this teaching. We sitting around complaining about no business. What is our lesson? The instructions was given to us, sit yourself in heaven. See, the people will come when we walk this walk. We're doing a lot of talking, but we're not walking this walk, meaning we are not practically applying these teachings in such manner that when the people see us, every time a person sees any one of us, who says that we are a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, particularly under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, they should see Allah walking and talking. I didn't say Master Farad Muhammad. I didn't say the creator of the heavens or the earth, but I said Allah, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, and our Savior has arrived. All of us are Allahs, but we call the one among us who has the most wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, a lot of supreme beings. So every time they see us, it shouldn't be a question. I want to first and foremost thank my illustrious panel. I want to thank everyone in the listening audience for participating. for being here. This is Conscious Black Nation, and now I want to bring Queen Aziza front and center.
Yes, sir.
And our lineup for the week.
Okay, well, tomorrow, of course, is Tuesday night. Join us at 8 p.m. Central for Out on the Front Line, hosted by Brother Jahab Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia. And one of his panelists will be, of course, Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad. On Wednesday night, join DJ Black Caesar and friends for our hip-hop comedy show. On Thursday, we will be having Defending Farrakhan Part 2, Why We Must Defend Him. We have the defenders of Farrakhan on, and of course, Brother Student Minister James Muhammad and myself are part of that group. So we're going to come on and we're going to talk about the organizations that are coming out against the minister. So that's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Central. And Friday night, of course, we'll be right back with Student Minister James again with Study Group at 8 p.m. Central, put on the new man. And, of course, we're going to be discussing part 21 of the series, The Time and What Must Be Done. And on Saturday at 8 p.m. Central, we are going to have a poetry extravaganza with Brother Wayne and his poetry group. And they're going to come on and read some what they call conscious and urban poetry to us. And Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Central, Brother Vernon Muhammad out of Columbia, Maryland, will be back with the No Romance Without Finance, Economic Development. And next Monday, we'll be right back here with you, Brother Kareem, on Conscious Black Nation. So that's the lineup for the week.
Praise be to Allah. And again, what a lineup it is. And like I said, again, I want to thank my panel. Also, with the last few minutes we have, Brother Eddie, if you had any closing remarks, you, Brother James, or you, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir. If I may, I just wanted to take a moment to thank everyone who was listening and to thank Brother James and Brother Kareem and Sister Aziza. I thank you very much for the invitation to sit with an exalted council. It is also a good bit of practice for me as well to share the teaching, growing in a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and trying to be a savior to the people. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, and I always learn so much. I have to start keeping a notebook every time I listen
I just want to say one thing, Brother Eddie. You know, Brother Eddie, you are a magnificent teacher, and I don't know personally what your aspirations are, but it's my prayer that you will always share your knowledge and your wisdom and understanding of the teachings wherever you are, because you are a magnificent teacher, and I know you will serve the ministry proud if you ever aspire to go in that direction. So I just want to keep you encouraged, and it is our honor to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. All praises
be
to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Brother James,
praises.
Any last words?
Yes, sir. Just, again, words of appreciation, gratitude, how privileged and honored I feel. And I want to thank my beloved sister and Queen Aziza Muhammad. I cannot tell you, I'll say this publicly, how grateful I am for allowing me the platform upon which or from which to express the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his message and his word. That is my passion. That is my love. And if I can't preach, I'll go crazy. I believe I'll go insane.
Well, Brother Minister Jay, I want to say this. I want to share this with you all. You know, this brother, out of all of the ministers that I know, and I'm not picking favorites, I'm just being honest, this brother has so much love for the teachings, for the messenger, for the ministry, for the nation. And I have never encountered anyone more dedicated and more in love with these teachings than Student Minister James Muhammad. This man sits up here and have it's not, you can't say church, but he has mosque meeting all by himself. Sometimes, because he is so engrossed in the teachings. And I tell you, if you don't know what that experience is like, when you if you don't know what it's like to have that need to get something out, this brother's a perfect example of that. And the thing about it is that, Brother James, you are the blessing to us to be able to hear you almost on a daily basis, expound on these teachings and share your knowledge and your wisdom. Now, we talk about having these teachers for all these years, but however, Brother James has been in the nation approximately about 40 years, and correct me if I'm wrong. So, again, a great source of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and history and information. So, Brother, know with the surety that you indeed are the blessing to us, and we are grateful that you spend your time and so much time here with us, because we have learned a tremendous amount about, and I know I have personally, I can speak for myself from you. So thank you again, Soldier. Original salute to you, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. I can't say anything after that, except all praise is due to Allah.
Yes.
That's right.
And Brother Kareem,
that's my spine.
That's all I can say about Brother Kareem. That's my spine. That's my backbone. I don't know what I do without him. So, Brother Kareem, thank you. Such a gracious host and always on point and always so willing to just do anything that he can to help. He's always so too kind all the time. And so I know if I look to my right, I got Brother Kareem right there. Thank you so much, beloved. And you're doing a wonderful job as a host. So,
that's right.
Okay,
that's
I'm through being mushy. You can go now.
All praise to Allah. And again, my thanks to everyone. Remember, everyone, stay tuned to Nation Building Network, because this is where you will always find 7 days a week practical application of these teachings. Always remember, the thought is the act. The act is the fact. Participate or dissipate. And Queen of Peace, that's
sir.
It. We're done.
All right. One nation, one love. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.